We could do a whole motherfucking 3 episodes.
What's been up? Yes. What's going down? What? I gotta know what's happening. I wanna know the word. What's been up?
WTF. WOTW.
With Rudy Roo.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to episode 20. Let's continue with Brianna Latrice.
Master P is back with another food product. In addition to his bag of chips, dirty rice, and pancake mix, he's now adding a new cereal called Hootie Hoos to the roster.
Are you lying?
The key to success is start small and build. Put your trust in fate and God, you could do anything. I just got one question for y'all. You got milk? Because we got cereals. Hootie Hoos cereals, yeah, Uncle P brand. Go to the stores, ask for the Hootie Hoos. Y'all see the penguin on the box. I mean, you gonna learn something. The more we make, the more we give. We took over the music industry, now we taking over the grocery stores. We ain't gonna stop till every kid in the world eating Hootie Hoos for breakfast.
Can we just talk about him real quick?
Yes.
When he dropped Master Clean, I was like, this nigga's a fucking genius. I just really need him to adopt me. I don't know why. I presented that idea to Romeo, and Romeo was like,
Daddy,
you know, I had a crush. Romeo alluded to the fact that he may or may not have had a crush on me, and I was like, I don't believe you.
Oh, daddy or himself?
Romeo.
Oh, so in his mind, he's like, oh, it'll be like dating my sister. But I'm talking about his daddy wants to fuck you.
Yeah, and then there's that. I don't know that per se. He's never like shut
y'all his exchanges sweat. Are so awkward. Well, he's just an awkward speaker.
I'm sorry, you're telling me that they're awkward, nigga?
Imagine how I feel. I don't think you realized it.
I do. Imagine how I feel when this nigga whispers in my ear, like, I'm gonna call you my bad girl. Sir.
Am I on punishment?
Wait, the best is the picture of me and him on a boat and me in a see-through dress. Like, I did not realize this old-ass man was going to be here.
You know, all these years and all this access, we still haven't refined the speech. So his communication, I think that makes him come across more awkward. Like, he only has,
well,
like,
this
20
is the thing,
words in the vocabulary.
So the crazy shit is he's fucking brilliant, though.
Obviously.
Like,
yeah,
fucking brilliant. But you are correct. Talking to him is awkward because, like, I remember I was at his house once and I did this scene where I realized I got caught in a moment where they could spin it and make me look really evil. So I started crying and I cried hysterically.
You're such a fucking actress. What are we talking about? Oh, we're just talking about, you know, balls. Oh, I hate balls.
One time a ball.
Balls.
So I basically stole the scene, which pissed everybody off. And I literally was just trying to find the smoothest exit to not look like a fucking demon, because somebody was actively giving their testimony on stage. And I was like, oh, these niggas got me fucked up in my head. Because I was like, bitch, I'm in this motherfucker drunk, hung the fuck over from last night. I ain't even supposed to be here. Y'all got me here because Angela ain't doing her job. Why the fuck you pay this bitch so goddamn much and shit? I'm coming. What? All that was on my face.
But y'all cool now, right?
It's like my beef with SZA, that was her beef with me.
Gotcha.
I was sitting next to Romeo, so I was like, oh, the cameras are absolutely on me. So when I saw them, I went, shit. And I immediately started thinking about the saddest things I could think about. So I shed a tear and was like, I'm sorry, and ran out of the room. And when I realized the camera was running behind me, I went, fuck it. So I closed the door on the camera. Then I opened it and was like, come on, what are you doing? And the camera guy went, what the fuck? And I was like, get in here.
Play along, motherfucker.
Right. So I closed the door behind him. I turned on the faucet to add extras because I was dehydrated, right? So I had to add extras and shit. So I'm going through the motions. And yo, if they ever show the unedited, I went from, I was smoking dope when I was young. I didn't graduate.
Yeah, I remember that scene.
I don't even know about my life. I can't keep a functional relationship because I hate these niggas. Mary was my best friend. I can't believe this. Somebody ate my macaroni. I was going through all the bullshit.
Oh, shit. I'm laughing harder because now I'm remembering that scene because I was also like, damn, maybe she is crazy. Because prior to that, I was like, yeah, I like that. She's raw. I was like, oh.
No, because I was so fucking drunk, bro. I couldn't stay on topic, but I had to. I just, it's something in me, like the worker bee in me was like, no, bitch, capitalize.
Yeah.
But also, I realized, oh shit, I didn't have an end game. Double down, bitch. Double down.
You gotta go.
Just double down. Yeah. Peppa, I'll give her this. She's smart. Peppa was like, oh, wait, let me shine. So she comes in to hug on me, which is always irritating because get these hard ass titties off my face, bitch. I'm not finna fuck you, bro. What is we doing here? But I still gotta stay in character. So I'm crying, but now I'm crying because you got these hard ass. They're not soft. These aren't motherly titties, okay? These are porn star poke your eye out.
Aggressive ass titties.
What is we doing here? Give me the fat bitch. Where I need somebody's Auntie Mabel or something. You know what I'm saying? I need a real comforting hug, okay? I'd like to be enveloped in love. This is weird here. When the scene was done, though, right? When they were like, all right, camera's down. I come out the bathroom and I was like, word, good job. And niggas like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, totally fine. Hey, where's my drink? Someone brings me my drink. It was like this. And I was like, yeah, thank you.
For the first part of your rise to fame, you were, your motherhood side had lived an alternative lifestyle.
I know. Can I tell you why?
Why?
My child, when I started this show, my child was not old enough to form full sentences. He could express himself to me, but he could not fully articulate himself to other people. And he still has troubles really articulating how he feels about things, which is understandable. He's a small child. I personally chose to, I'm not going to put my child on television. Also, he, even as a child, has rights. I don't even know if he fully understands the repercussions and consequences of that. Therefore, I'm not even going to expose him to it. Instead, I'm going to collect the check and let it benefit him. And when he's old, he didn't even know I was on TV until we was at, earlier this year, in fact, during the quarantine, we were at one of his mom's houses, Sugar Mama, we call her, because she always has the candy on deck. And she happened to be watching the show, so we walked in and my son was like, you're on the TV. I was like, fuck. But more importantly, he doesn't see that side. Like that, because that shit is so edited, he doesn't see that. And I don't ever want him, while he's this young and malleable, to see sides of me that aren't necessarily the full-hearted honest me. He's seen me go off on niggas, that's for sure. He's seen me represent and regulate and shut shit down. And then also I have conversations with him afterwards where I explain it. He's also come with me to set because I like to teach him the back end of things. When I was filming the voiceovers for the show, he was working with the sound guy to set up my mic.
Oh, that's sweet.
And then I gave him his own set of lavaliers so that he could understand, like, this is how we do. So he plays with his little shit sometimes because mommy went to school for sound engineering. So I can teach him things. I teach him to record. You know what I'm saying? I would prefer to teach him a bunch of shit. And when I feel he's cognitive enough to A, articulate how he feels effectively, but really grasp and understand what it is we're doing here, then I'll consider letting him be on TV. That, or if they want to run this nigga 20 bands in his own bank account, and that's just for his storyline, period. You won't even talk about my child on the show, and that's a fact. Run the tape back, never.
No, it's true. It's a trigger, it's a tough too. One.
And the thing about them that they don't understand is when I get triggered, I'm really triggered, bro. They don't understand my life long before the show. They don't understand how I came up as a kid. They don't understand the shit that I've been through, the shit that I've seen, the shit that I've experienced, or how I chose to deal with those things, or how hard I fight to not revert back to how I used to be for the sake of my child. So I'm not going to give you an active, like, fucking nuke button because I'm beating everybody the fuck up. I ain't never really went through anything real that was real to me on the show other than that nigga putting his hands on me.
Yeah, but I was about to say, that looked real.
People forget I sold them that story because I doubled down and I went, oh, y'all want real TV? Cool. Here's this story. I said, you'll triple my check and you're going to make me an actual cast member and you can have this story. But really, the real reason I did that was because I wanted to out this nigga without letting my friends kill him.
Oh.
Because everybody wanted to take him out. And I was like, I don't know how I'd be able to live with myself if one of my friends went to prison because I chose to fuck with a fuck nigga.
Oh.
Maybe it'll warn other women so that you won't fall into the same situation. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in, like, speaking out. Speak out. What I will say is I feel so bad and I'd love to apologize again. I've already apologized, but... you know, you don't realize how much you hurt the people you love when you are spiraling and they don't know how to reach you and you're closed off to them even trying to reach you. because I was closed off. I was like, I don't want anybody to touch me. I don't want anybody to help me. Fuck you. This is how I process. But they're like, no, babes, that's not a healthy way to process. You can't just do a bunch of fucking psychedelics and think that you're going to come out of this thing okay.
I want to know, how old were you when you discovered the first of your passions?
Oh, so actually, when I discovered the first of my passions, I was probably 3. No bullshit. I remember these things because they're so pivotal in my life. Bob Ross on PBS.
Yes.
He was painting happy little trees. And I was like, I want to paint. And I went hard on my mom. Like, I want to paint. I want to paint. I want to paint. So I used to like watercolor or whatever. And I was like, no, I want to paint like him. He bought me an easel. And then I was painting happy little trees. And then coincidentally, in that same little era, I discovered another passion, which was saving pot cakes or strays, as pot cakes is what Bahamians call strays. Because there were strays in general. A cat had given birth to a litter behind our washing machine, and I kept hearing these noises, and we went and we saved them. And the poor little babies, they were missing eyeballs and all kinds of things, but they were so beautiful and I wanted to love them. And my bitch ass mom was like, I have an allergy to all things. So we couldn't keep them, but we found homes for them. The one specifically whose eye was the most like fucked up, that was my favorite. And he was the most loving. He only had one eye. It's beautiful.
You only need one beautiful. Eye to
the
love.
The one eye he had was gorgeous too. At 4, I discovered photography when I went to Miami to visit family, and I had a disposable camera, and I took a photo at an angle, and I was like, oh my God. So then I just went around taking pictures of everything. And actually my grandfather gave me my very first film camera. Fucking beautiful, because he really believed in me. I told you, grandpa's goat. Yeah. I still have the very first oil painting I ever did. I was 7 years old. When this woman saw me outside cursing, I was like, fuck you, niggas, woo, woo, woo. And she came outside and went, what are you doing? And I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, you're not even supposed to be talking to strangers. And I was like, and you talking to me? She's like, do you want to come inside and paint? And I was like, what? She opened her door a little bit and I saw inside and I was like, fuck yeah, that shit looks crazy. So I went in and she was 72. Her name was Miss Emma. And she taught me to paint objective abstract. So she had a vase with flowers on the table, and she was painting. Her painting looked way better than mine. But mine, I did it. I still have it if you want to see it.
I do. Wow. That's cute.
I was 7.
You painted that at 7?
Yes.
What the fuck? You're so irritating.
Because she was standing next to me. I mean, she had her easel up and her thing, and I literally was mimicking her every stroke. And then there were times where I had visible frustrations because mine looks nothing like hers, by the way. And she explained to me, it's not supposed to look like mine. This is your artistic expression. This is how you move and how you work. And oh God, she means so much to me. So I came back the next summer and she had passed. So I went to her door and I was like, super excited to get my paint lessons on. And her daughter had come outside, Jewish. And her daughter came outside and went, oh, you must be Brianna. And I was like, what? And she goes, I'm so sorry. And she gave me my painting. Sorry, that's so emotional.
That's okay.
She gave me my painting, but that means so much to my life because that woman literally just took some random little black kid in from across the courtyard and gave me a whole summer's worth of art lessons. And they weren't just art lessons. They were lessons about life. Yeah. And the fact that she made sure that her daughter gave me my work, that was dope. It's really dope. It's always a Jewish lady, by the way, who takes me in as her protege, because I have another woman. She's still with us, thankfully. She's in her 90s now, and she took me in too, but she was with the shit. She was like, listen here, little nigga. I fucks with you the long way. No, she keeps it funky.
Okay. Oh.
She's something else, bruh. She is something else. She'd be like, she found my artwork through an inmate. Someone in prison, because I used to work on a board, Families United Prison Reform, right? We were trying to overturn the 3 strikes law on California because they were literally giving people life sentences for dime sacks and dub sacks. She was talking to an inmate because I told you she with the shit. And he was a very talented artist. And I guess he had found me through somebody, through one of the inmates I fuck with. And he sent me some artwork of Mary to give to her. And then he was like, yo, your artwork's actually really dope. I want you to meet this person. So I met with her and she put on my very first official art show in her gallery. It was amazing. And she just, it's always a Jewish lady, like I said, which makes sense because I drink gin and I like egg whites in my cocktails like an old fancy rich white bitch.
Okay. You've been very open about your drug use and being homeless as a youth.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the exact moment you knew your rock bottom was over? Still not over?
No. Oh my God. I only laugh because that term rock bottom has always rubbed me the wrong way. Some fucking idiot told my idiot mother, you got to let her hit rock bottom.
Right.
Which fucked my world. I now granted I was on drugs, so I really like flashed on my mama. I went.
That means if you're also a strong person, that it's like the suffering has to last way longer.
This is what I'm saying. I was going apeshit because you don't know how low somebody's rock bottom is, especially when they're strong enough to be on the street at 12 and fucking survive. Why would you actively send me into the world so it could potentially swallow me? That's crazy.
But so you're on the street at 12.
Yeah.
But why?
I come from chaos. I come from two children who didn't know what the fuck they were doing. I come from selfishness. I come from confusion. I come from cultural differences. I come from someone with a lack of parenting who had abusive parenting. I come from someone else who was just a young, dumb kid. My thoughts were, if somebody's going to hurt me, I'd rather it be a stranger. When the first time my mother told me to get out, I didn't think she was serious, but she literally pushed me out and closed the door behind me and locked it after she'd ripped my shirt open and I'm in my socks and my PJs like a little baby. And I was like, wait, is she for real? I rang the doorbell a few times. She didn't open it. So I left because what the fuck else would a child do? So I walked crying in the night through the street and I got to this this spot within the city where it's actually a known rape spot. And I didn't know that at the time, but I could hear voices under the street. And I thought at the time, God bless it, because I was a baby, I thought it was demons or something. So I just started booking it. What I didn't know is that people used to get high under that road and they would actively drag women down there and rape. Also, I've never been further than this because my school's right here. I don't know where else to go. I don't even know where we are because my mother's a runaway. So she kept moving us to places where we had no one and nothing. My thought process was, fuck, what am I going to do? She's not going to open the door. Maybe I'll just sleep in the driveway. So as I'm walking back, I hear the familiar sound of this car that I knew because it lived on my block. She was my best friend's mother who ran the dope house. And she pulled over and showed me an act of kindness and love. And she's like, get in the car. What are you doing? And I told her, my mom kicked me out and she laughed as an adult would. And was like, no, your mom's just tripping. She's a little crazy, but don't worry about it. Mind you, the crazy bitch is telling me my mom is crazy. I hadn't seen this bitch chase niggas down the street with screwdrivers, knives, and 40 ounces. Like, she goes, you got to go home. I was like, no, I don't want to go home. She doesn't want me. She doesn't love me. Please take me with you. She took me home. When I got home, I rang the doorbell. My mother answered the door, snatches me in the house, proceeds to beat my ass and tells me I had no business leaving.
Oh, so that was her way of trying to put you on a timeout on the porch or something? The hell? And then you imagine opened it back up and she was like, oh shit. Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? I don't think I ever recovered. Just let me go live with somebody who loves me. Like, why won't you let me go? But also you push me away every chance you get. I didn't grow up with hugs and kisses. I didn't grow up with affirmations. I didn't grow up with none of that. I grew up with you stupid bitch. Get this motherfucker. I grew up with her actively tossing my room like it was a jail cell for no fucking reason. I'm not here to bash my mother or nothing. She knows what mistakes she made. A lot of them she tries to pretend didn't happen. She has apologized for some of it. And I'm not, you know, it is what it is. I'm not trying to hold it against her or anything. That's just what it was. I ended up moving into that dope house. I lived in the closet. I didn't really understand how drugs affected people because I was so fucking young. But that same woman tried to sell me for dope at one point.
Well, that's the psychology and the mindfuck of it all, right?
I remember one time, like, I came in the house, right? Because I used to actively, I was a hustler for the household because her daughter lived there, my best friend. And we didn't have no water at one point.
So the drug business was not popping over there.
Well, they were getting high on their own damn supply, too. And it's just, but I knew the local drug dealer. He was my friend. And he used to let me taste test his dope to make sure it wouldn't kill his customers.
Wait, what? Oh, no.
Sorry. Yeah, I didn't realize like how fucking dangerous that was at the time. But as a payment, he'd give me a teener, which was equivalent to like $120 worth at the time. So I would take some back to the dope house, give to her. I would tell her I only got 60, and I would sell the rest so that I could have money to buy her daughter shampoo, my best friend, and food and things, you know?
Wow. And you were 12?
Between 12 and 15. I still talk to her, the best friend, by the way.
Well, that's good. She was suffering too.
Yeah, no, she was suffering far more than me, honestly.
That's crazy. Damn.
Far more than me. I think part of the reason I stayed at that house, because I could have moved on to a different one, but I stayed at hers because she was there.
She wasn't going to make it if she left.
I mean, I love that girl. I will love that girl for the rest of my life. I love that girl. It's difficult to talk to her sometimes only because it brings back memories, but she did the most selfless thing I've ever seen. At that time, she started a fight with me one day. She accused me of stealing, which I don't do from people. She told her mother that I stole some dope, and the boy that I was like in love with, he backed it up because I think he was actually the one who stole it. But she did that so that I would get kicked out because she didn't want me to go through that with her anymore.
She wanted to spare you.
But she tried to fight me, which fucked my soul up because she really wanted me to hit her, and she knows how crazy I am, and she hit me, and I just looked at her like, what are you doing? Please don't do this. Yo, leaving her was so fucking hard. Because I swear to God, I didn't think she was going to make it. And when we first met, we did the blood in, blood out shit. Like, we pricked our fingers together so we could be blood sisters. I never stopped feeling guilty about leaving her. I mean, she's good. She's as good as she can be. She's okay. Fuck, man, that shit hurt.
Well, she was lucky to have you then, so.
Sorry.
Sorry. It's okay. I mean, you know, can't be hard all the time. Whoop, whoop.
I fucking love you, bro.
But I mean, you know, clearly you have like a whole different background than all these other like Silver Spoon kids on Growing Up Hip Hop. Like, how did you even get cast on that show? Like, just the Mary J. Blige link? That's it?
Nah, what happened was, they were looking for someone who was a celebrity kid just to fortify their narrative. And Mr. Ray from College Hill and Love and Hip Hop, he called me one day. I was drunk. I was drinking Jameson with my friend. I was smacked too. And I was like, what's that, bitch? He was like, girl, I need you to do me a favor. I said, what's up? Anything? What you need? My dumb ass shouldn't have said that. He was like, yo, I want you to be on this reality show. I was like, oh, I can't do that. Because the Bad Girls Club, niggas, everybody wanted me to be on that show.
Oh, man. You would have been in jail in that show.
On episode one. I'm so sorry. I'm all fucking emotional and shit. My bad, yo. This is why I told you I knew we was going to go here because I really know you and I trust you. So, Mr. Ray, I told him, you know, I was a little drunk. He's like, yo, you got to do this show. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm not doing the show. And he's like, well, just agree to a meeting. I was like, fine, whatever. And I basically was like, hey, y'all, I'm not even going to hold you. I'm just a woman in my word. Like, usually I do shit in my own time like God, but I'm here. I don't want to do your show. I saw an episode and fell asleep. I don't think that it's the right fit. And they were like, well, that's why we need you. I was like, no, you're not understanding me. I didn't grow up like these kids. There's no way that you could put me into their group and it work out because I didn't understand how reality TV worked. All the while, I think that I'm talking them out of this poor decision and I'm really just solidifying my check.
Yeah.
The nail in the coffin was when I was like, okay, y'all, so I'm head out. And I hopped up and started to walk away and my EBT card fell out.
Oh.
And the white dude goes, did you drop something? I said, oh shit, nigga, that's my EBT. He was like, what? And I was like, my EBT, my Eat Better Today on your tab. Thank you. And I left. And they were like, oh no, she's fucking perfect. She's perfect. She's going to bring the real element to the show and blah, blah, blah. And it's just been a struggle ever since.
I remember back in 2018, you were on a mission to open an all-inclusive shelter for homeless teens called Tuesday's Heart. Is that still a project in the pipeline?
Yes, actually. It's being revitalized right now. Oh. I have a new business partner and I'm super grateful because one of my flaws is that I tend to think that I can take on everything by myself. Because I'm fully aware that other people are not as passionate as I may be about my projects. So I just be like, fuck it, I'll do it. but then I overwhelm myself. Mm-hmm. But I luckily have a really, really, really dope team, no matter how small it may be. We're all very, very adamant about seeing these things to fruition. He's actually, I don't want to speak too much on it because I'd just rather do it. You know what I mean? And in the past, when I spoke on it, it gave me, I guess, some sort of pseudo satisfaction as though I was accomplishing things when in fact they weren't moving as much as I really wanted them to. And then I made a left turn somewhere with no guidance. I'm taking my sweet ass time with it. Exactly. I'm also watching the current climate because with COVID and the presidential elections and everything, we don't know what the new world holds. So I just need to be, I'm basically on my toes, ready to pivot.
Mm-hmm. You gotcha.
So that I can, because my mission, the underlying mission is always there, which is just simply to be of service for the future, meaning the kids, the seeds, you know.
And it's really about the passion being there. So I'm happy to hear. And, you know, I support where I can. I know I'm overseas, but, you know.
No, you've always been extremely supportive. I also no longer do business with PayPal.
Okay.
Just got to throw that out there. I do not fuck with them.
Okay. Well, we'll figure something else out. So I've seen samples of your art, photography, jewelry, maybe a dish you concocted. However,
and a cocktail.
And a cocktail. Yeah. But however, your music has always been elusive to me because it's always in the background in the wee hours muffled by blunt smoke. So I want to play one of your own favorite songs. So which will it be? And why do you like it so much?
My favorite is an EP from about 2009 that I never actually put out. It was the most me, period. Like, I've written a lot of songs, but I used to always write them for other people. They weren't coming from me. It would be like, I'd be drunk in the studio and they'd be like, come on, write a song. I'd be like, fine, tell me what you write about. All right, love. I wrote a song about a fucking cigarette and it's one of the dopest love songs I have. But it's about a cigarette.
I believe that you were very passionate with it too, because the way you be sucking on them things.
Okay. Why you gotta make everything sexual?
Listen. Why? Don't you suck on the cigarette? How do you get the smoke in you? How do you? What you do? What you do? That's a plan. I think the outfit is making me extra today, but I want a song right now.
Fine. All right. If we're gonna do a song, Duck in the Middle, which I love because that was one of those hungover days where I rolled through to the studio and niggas was like, bitch, write something. And I was like, yeah. And I took my inspiration from the homie come through with my favorite candy bar. And I was like, let me get some. He was like, nah, nigga, you dehydrated. You need electrolytes. And handed me an orange. And I was like, get the fuck out of here, bruh. But he went to the bathroom and the candy bar was still sitting there. And I was like, I'm stuck in the middle. About how I was stuck between stealing this nigga candy bar and fading him.
Stuck in the Middle is kind of relevant in your life now anyway, as we discussed in the beginning of this podcast. So there's that.
We're not going to talk about my sexuality.
Oh, we're not?
I mean, I guess we are.
We don't have to. That's not going to be the subject.
I have no problems talking to people I respect about anything.
You respect me?
You made me get dressed for this. I mean, like, slightly.
And then got undressed. So there's that.
You know me, though. You were surprised I had on clothes in the first place.
Yeah, so I was like, well, that's a letdown with your little Habibti turtleneck. Like, you're not going to show nothing? The fuck?
Just for your followers, because they don't know, I'm absolutely known for wearing a piece of fabric tied around my body and that being all, like a toga.
Yeah, just titty flapping and then grease splattering while you cook right in between. I don't know, I get it. Well, hopefully all the people listening have some sparked interest so they can go check out the oasis where Brianna's creations dwell.
Good luck finding it.
Like, look, finding my oasis. BriannaLatrice.com and at Brianna Latrice on the socials. Is there anything you want to specify?
Yes. Should you find yourself in the desert?
Yeah.
Dehydrated? I got all the water you need, babe.
Yes. Yes. Give me water.
Now, real talk though, I think one thing we never specify is that I am actually... I do a myriad of things. If you go to BriannaLatrice.com, you can absolutely book me for a reading. I'm big on that. I like it. My hours are my hours. You can't schedule anything outside of my hours because boundaries. But I will definitely guide you, help you, love you. That's what I do. It's one of my favorite things to do. And my prices aren't fucking ridiculous. They're not. You can also check out a lot of my products at houseofblack.com. House of BLK, that's where my store lives, where you can get all the sages and candles and incense. Everything is, I make my incense by hand.
And guys, by the way, I don't think her art will be included because she only sells to collectors with her bougie ass. Whatever. So there's that.
That's not true. The other day, I sold a reprint to someone who inquired appropriately. I do sell reprints from time to time, but you need to understand what these things cost.
Right.
So if you've got the budget and you'd like a reprint, I have no problems accommodating you. I will not sell originals. That's insane.
But to the collectors, you will.
To the collectors, yes. If the price is right. I personally have goals to be in certain museums.
Didn't Dave Dash buy a piece?
Yeah. He was the only person on the show who understood how art worked. And I didn't know how amazing Dame was until he came to my show before everyone else and was like, why are you guys not filming this? This is how art shows work. Collectors come first. Also, he was very pissed that they didn't put the tag next to the sold piece. And the funny shit is he bought my least favorite piece, the piece I almost left out of the show, but he saw it and I was high as shit because Peppa drugged me. No bullshit. No bullshit.
Drugs.
No bullshit. Yes. I was having anxieties about the show because I was, you know, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. Not to be super cliche, but truthfully. So I was nervous. Like, this isn't just a show. This is going to be on TV and there's no telling what kind of fuck shit they're going to do. And she squeezed what I thought was a flavor additive into my water. And then I took a couple sips and she was like, yeah, it's weed. And I was like,
it's a Quaalude.
I mean, essentially, because after a while, so I got to the show before the opening and I was high as fuck and Dame walked in and he's talking to me and I was looking at him like, what?
Oh, so, no.
He was like, so what's this piece about? I was like, it's not art. Because the piece literally says, this is not art. So I was like, yeah, it's not art. And he was like, okay. And I was like, yeah, because it's me. It's my soul. But he's so dope, he could see through the bullshit. And I swear to God, to this day, when he introduces me to people, he's like, yo, she's really dope. She's like a real artist. Like, not, you know, bullshit. She's like a real artist. Like, even down to the weird shit. Mary actually leased a piece for several thousands of dollars.
But leased it to put in her home?
Mm-hmm.
So then, she still got it, or what?
Mm-mm, it was a lease. It's right here on my
wall. But then she should swap out. Don't you renew a lease with a new painting? She don't swap that
if you want to, but after she divorced my dad, I think she felt some kind of way.
Well, why, though?
You know, to be fair, like, if you're hurt for whatever reason, and you haven't fully dealt with it yet, you probably... And then also, I think, honest to God, like, if I'm gonna keep it all the way funky with you, I think that in her mind, she's like, well, she's gonna take her dad's side. That's not necessarily accurate. I'm not that linear, but I can see how she might feel like it might not even be appropriate in her mind to continue fucking with me. Because I remember when she felt uncomfortable about even meeting my mom.
In your case, though, you were grown. I mean, you were in your 30s.
To be fair, she doesn't maintain contact with anybody in the family. So again, it's not a me thing. I'm not taking it personal. It's not a me thing. That's a her thing.
Gotcha.
However she feels, and within her rights to feel how she feels. I mean, to keep it funky with you, I had a conversation with Raven Simone. She randomly called me. Raven was like, "What the fuck is going on?" And I said, "What you mean?" She's like, "Bitch, I just did this show and your mother was here and she did not speak to me." And I was like, "She didn't speak to you? What the fuck you mean?" She was like, "She literally said hi and then kind of walked off like dismissed."
But who's she talking about? Your biological or Mary?
Mary.
Oh, okay.
But Raven and I met, and Mary was my stepmother. Raven has never met my real mother. Maybe she has. But as far as Raven knows, anytime she came to pick me up from my family's home, it was my dad and Mary. You know what I mean? Like, so Raven just kind of felt some kind of way because her mother, when me and Raven were beefing as friends do, her mother was like, "Y'all need to stop this. This is stupid. Why aren't you guys talking?" So for her, me and Raven were still actually on the outs when this happened, which is why I was like, "What the fuck? She's calling me. It must be a problem. Are you okay?" But everybody processes differently. You know what I mean?
Mary seems like she has a social awkwardness about her anyway.
She does.
I can imagine that it's in real life as well, you know? Like,
she does. Yeah. And I think I personally, that was one of my favorite things about her, is that she don't really fuck with niggas like that. She'd be like, "Okay." And we've had some deep ass conversations that I won't delve into because it's not anybody's business.
Of course,
but
yeah.
I'm saying it to say that, like, I understand parts of her. I'm not going to say I fully know her, but I understand parts of her on a level that, like, she and I have had conversations that we haven't had in a group setting. It was very intimate, and I got to know her on another level, which is why I let her take my self-portrait for her meditation room, because it's a self-portrait that she leased. And I do believe, because sometimes I feel petty, because I'm petty sometimes, and I'm like, "I don't know why she gave it back." But in reality, it was a self-portrait, and she knew that. And when she divorced my father, I think it was just kind of like, "All right, go ahead. Why would I hold on to this girl's painting?" Plus, I think a lot of it was like, let me support her because she didn't know that I painted. Nobody really did. While I always did it on the low, a lot of my earlier pieces were destroyed by my mom because she was feeling some kind of way. So nobody really knew, and it wasn't something I showed off. Like, I still don't brag about it. It's not a big deal. I paint because I have to. It's how I work through my emotions when I'm extremely off balance. It's how I regain some synergy and some grounding.
Well, the time has come for us to say goodbye.
Has come.
Oh, that's a whole different song.
Yeah, I know.
I am on my Sound of Music. I don't know what the fuck you on.
I know. So you were taking it way too musical and I went to Ludacris.
That's cool. I feel like that's how we balance each other out.
Never needed a publicity stunt. Let's tell the truth about it. You know, Ludacris.
All right. You made him sound tall when you spit.
Don't do him. He's actually really nice.
You're saying short people can't be nice?
I'm short.
So, Brianna.
Can I just say, if I was actually, like, gay for real, I swear I'd be trying to holler at you.
At me?
Yeah.
Tell me more. Why?
Because you are such a bright light. I've never once got negative energy from you, not even in times of despair. You've just always been uplifting. Those are things I look for in a partner. Like, somebody who, when I'm at my lowest, they can be like, blah, 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 blah. And I giggle a bit because it raises my vibration to where I can come back to a level of, okay, I see where I was fucking up. Let's move forward. You know what I'm saying? And I aspire to be that to a partner.
Well, I think I've witnessed how you are as a person. And I think you have all the great traits I would want in a mate.
Well, when I figure out how to suck pussy.
Sorry, just that line already. I don't even want to know where the rest of the sentence was going because I wasn't even ready.
I don't even know if I want to say it because what I mean is I know how. It's just when I figure out how to want to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, but let's just go back to thank you. That's really nice.
That was one of those weird ass compliments that was like, bitch, what? But also.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It's not weird. It's. Oh, God, it's the nicest thing someone has said to me all day.
And you're fucking gorgeous, so, like, that helps.
Oh, my God. Come on.
I'm mad I'm low-key hitting on you. Like, now I'm questioning my own sexuality.
I mean, we had this talk. You are stuck in the middle. So, but I want to really thank you for, you know, taking out the time to get out of bed, even if I commanded you to. You didn't have to follow through on that. You could have hung up. No, and thank you for being open and so candid and for making the editing job hard for me.
You'll be all right if my son gets a cameo.
For sure, bring him.
Siete. Medium size child. Aquí, aquí. No, you're not interrupting. I'm inviting you into the situation. Come.
Ugh. Hello again, Seven. Are you going to sign your mom off this podcast? Do you have a good joke for us?
A good what?
A good joke.
Okay, well, why don't you tell people something funny about your mama?
She's crazy.
Well, I think I do.
Okay.
My mom always talks me about her day.
Oh. You like that? You like talking to her about her day?
Is it fun? It's funny.
Well, that's okay.
You said your day is hilarious.
He's petty, and yeah. That's great.
Are you a little shy, Seven?
I'm just a little bit.
A little bit, yeah, because you can't give your all to everyone. But thank you for coming to talk to me.
That means you're actually reserved. Say reserved.
Reserved?
Yes, it means you reserve your energy for you and those you care about. You don't just give it to everyone freely.
That's right.
You have boundaries. Okay, we gotta go. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. See you soon.
Bye.
Now you better be done.
Oh, all right. We done, done.
Thank you for listening. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the heck up out of here. Please be a friend. Tell a friend. Subscribe. Do something with your laugh. Catch you next week on
WTFWOTW
with Rudy Rue.